Good morning.
Morning.
How's it? How'd you guys greet each other? Like, how's it? Away? I don't know what the options are. How are you guys doing today? Wow, this sounds so loud. It's been a while since I was up here, and you guys are like so intimidating, so I'm going to try and face this giant. Okay, so we've been doing a series called The Giant Slayer, and last week we did doubt, and today we're going to be dealing with fear. So we're dealing with the Giant Slayer series, and so far, last week Mark started us with the how to slay the giant of doubt. And we looked at the story of the Israelites. Now, where we're at in the Old Testament, they've just gotten to the border of Canaan. You remember that God had promised them, this is the land that God had promised them. And so Moses sends out a couple of guys to go spy on the land so that they kind of see what's coming up. So when they get to the land, they find it's a beautiful place, like there's nice crops and everything, but there's also giants and like high walls. So when the spies came back, the report that they gave back, half of it was like good, but half of it was bad. They were like, but we can't face those giants. So they were a bit nervous. But Joshua and Caleb, however, they believed that God would actually send them into the land and give them the courage to overcome these giants. And so the stuff that we talked about last week was about how do we slay this giant of doubt. Anyone remember what the three things were? So you need to see your situation through God's eyes. You need to believe God is bigger than it. You need to power up with the Bible. And I'm going to make you say them. Okay, first one, you need to... Next one, you need to? And you need to? So when we ask you next, there'll be an exam next week and these prizes. Yeah, so take notes. If you need pen and paper, we have pen and paper at the back. So anyway, today we're going to look at how to slay the giant of fear. How to slay the giant of fear. And now where we are in the story in the Old Testament now is we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. How many of you know about this story? Yeah, I'm sure you've all heard about it, Sunday school. And we're going to look into 1 Samuel. And where we're at now, we pick up this is when the Philistines, the Israelites rather, are going to attack the Philistines. And there's a huge army that they'd sent out with King Saul. And so these guys have been out in the battlefield. And David's brothers is actually among the guys who are in the army. And so his dad sends him out to take some food to his brothers. But when he gets to the field, apparently it hasn't been so great. And there's been some bad news. And when he gets there, he hears all these other guys talking about how the Philistines have this huge giant who's fighting for them. And they're all so scared, including Saul himself, that they're not willing to go out and face this giant. And so the giant comes out every day. For like 40 days, he comes out every day and he's constantly taunting them, saying, why do you even bother lining up? You know, I mean, why even waste your time? Just like, go back home. If there's anyone courageous enough, send them out. And if they can kill me, then all the Philistines will be your servants. But if I kill you, then you guys have to serve us. And so, of course, David is very shocked by this story. He can't believe that these guys can actually be so afraid of this giant. And he's like, who's this unclean Philistine that he thinks he can defy the army of God? And so David had guts, if you think about it. Well, he hadn't been on the field this entire time, but these guys who wake up and see this giant every day, I mean, I would be like them. I'll be like, no, thanks. It's okay. It's all right. I'll pass. You know, I don't want to be that guy who goes forward. And can you imagine Saul had even promised anyone who's willing to face this giant will have his daughter as his wife. You'll have no taxes paid and you'll have a handsome reward. That's like a really good incentive, right? I mean, what more do you need? You have a wife or a husband, you know? You don't have to pay taxes for the rest of your life. You're like sorted. So eventually, David's story gets to Saul, and Saul sends for him, and he realizes that David is just a shepherd boy. I mean, he's an untrained teenager. Like, he has no experience about having been in an army before or anything like that. And David says to him, "I am a shepherd. I have killed bears and lions, and I've protected my sheep. And the Lord is our shepherd. So God will help me kill this Philistine and he will protect his people." And so after hearing this, Saul is like, okay, no problem. You have a lot of courage and faith and the Lord go with you and be with you. And so Saul gives him his armor to put on, which he kind of looks weird. That's a really weird looking picture. And he realizes that he can't fight in all of this stuff. David is just like, I'm not used to this. I'm not comfortable. And he decides to lose his armor and just chooses to go with 5 smooth stones that he picks up. And he's going to face this giant with stones. I'd be one of the people laughing, seriously. Like, stones, are you serious? This is like a giant. So he goes onto the battlefield with only his shepherd's staff and a sling, and he goes out to meet this giant. And of course, Goliath is like, seriously, do I look like a dog or like some animal that you can use like shoo shoo with like some stones and sticks, you know? Because obviously he doesn't think this little guy can face him. And you know, Goliath was actually, the Bible says, 6 cubits high, which is about 10 feet tall. That's like double my height. That's really huge. So I don't know about you guys, but I would stand there and just think, run to the hills. But David stands before him, and he has the courage to face this giant. And he's busy saying to him, I'll give your flesh to the wild animals. Yeah, you know, insert laughter. But with courage, David faces him, and he picks up a stone, and he washes his sling at him, and it knocks him right in the forehead. And he's knocked out. Imagine that. Just one stone. Can you believe? Like, who would have imagined? After these guys have been standing there for 40 days, no one had even thought, oh, let me try. Let me attempt. And so, just like that, he overcomes the giant. So I want you guys to take a moment and just share with each other. I know some of you were here on Friday, and you might have shared some of your fears. So just take a moment and share with the person next to you. What are some of the things you fear in your life? So where do you guys think fear comes from? I think one of the things, when we were talking about slaying the giant of fear last week, one of the things Mark shared is sometimes fear comes from the pain of life. So maybe you've had an experience in the past that makes you somehow doubt the power of God or doubt that God's going to come through for you because this one time he didn't come through for you in the way that you expected. And sometimes fear comes from that. You're just like, God, you kind of let me down the last time, so thanks. I don't think I want to do this. You don't have that courage to step out anymore. But there are also 2 more causes of fear that I'd like to share with you guys, and one of them is kind of related to what you've shared, and it's the lack of identity. Sometimes we don't know who we really are in Christ. You look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, oh my God, I look so, my eyebrows, my hair. Like, there's constantly something, you know? And you constantly feel like, if I go out and step in front of people, they just think I don't look right or I don't act right. And we live in a society where everyone sort of has a formula. Like, if you look like this or if you talk like this, then you probably are the right kind of person. You know, from the television and from media, you know, there's always an image that people are expecting you to live up to. However, there's actually something in the Bible that says who we should be. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Like, whoever you were before, it don't matter. Yeah, you are a new creation. Like, the old has gone. Can you imagine that? It's like a blank slate. So when you stand in front of the mirror, you can be whoever you want to be. It doesn't matter, you know? What people have to say, what society says about you, that doesn't matter at all. One of my favorite verses in Psalms 139 and verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, meaning he took time to like make your hair and your eyes and like those little things that define you, and wonderfully, that you're actually great. Like, regardless of how you see yourself in the mirror, you're actually awesome. And God has called us that we can live as wonderful and not have to worry about what other people have to say or what other people think about us. Our identity actually rests in Christ. And maybe you've done something that makes you think, you know, I can't do this. I'm kind of okay with being the introvert who sits like this in a corner. You know, I'm not that person who stands up on stage and does stuff. That was me. I'm so, like, when I started speaking, my voice would shake. I kid you not. Like, it was like, it's okay, I just don't want to do that. But we have to believe who we are in Christ, because that then gives us the confidence. Another cause of fear may be the lack of confession. I'm like, whoa, that image. It looks very haughty, you know? Sometimes you may have unconfessed or past sin, stuff that you may have done a while back that you've just chosen to bury deep in your heart, and you haven't dealt with it yet, you know? And the book of 1 John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is confess and just say, God, you know what? I'm sorry. Because if we don't confess, you're constantly carrying around that feeling of guilt and shame, and you're condemning yourself. The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation. Like, no one can hold it against you. If you are in Christ Jesus, no one can hold anything you've done in the past against you. Once you confess, it's like you had never done it before. And what we do need to remember is God has forgiven you. He has freed you, and you can live without the guilt. And sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, it's actually, I'm my worst enemy because I condemn myself. It's not even people who know about, because sometimes, you know, your friends don't know what you've done. Like, you know, when you lied to your parents or whatever, it's just you who knows. So half the time, you're the one who's holding the condemnation. And you need to live free, because Jesus has said, if you confess, you're free of that feeling of, oh my gosh, but I did last night, yesterday. It doesn't matter. But what does the Bible say about fear? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. This is like a really powerful verse. Power, love, sound mind. Power meaning you can go forth and just slay that giant, whichever giant it is, and love, that the love of God goes with you. And sound mind meaning in that moment you have like utter peace. And you know, the funny thing is, the Israelites who had gone through the wilderness for so long, for 40 years, and God provided like food for them, manna from nowhere. Like, when they were faced with this giant, they were still afraid. However, David trusted in the power of God. David remembered the stuff that had happened in the wilderness. And based on that, he was able to stand before this giant and slay him regardless. He trusted in the power of God. He could have been that big. It's nah, you're not convinced. He was a giant. Have you ever seen a giant? Yes? I shouldn't ask some questions at youth, really. It's like no one ever says no. Everyone just says yes. So you need to look at your fear versus God's greatness. I mean, what do you know about God and the character of God? You absolutely have no reason not to trust God. When you compare what you're afraid of to the power and the greatness of God, like, your fear becomes so minuscule and so irrelevant. God's word says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that like a guarantee? You know? What more do you need? This is like my best verse ever. When I'm just like shaking in that moment, I will go before you and level the mountains. If you just close your eyes for a moment and imagine a mountain being leveled, how amazing is that power? I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. So when you think of the stuff that you're afraid of versus the power of someone who can level the mountains, hello. You know, it's so literal. Now, if this guy says, don't worry, I'll protect you, would you trust him? Would you? Like, he has weird teeth, cheesy glasses, skin and bones. You know, it's just like, oh, no thanks. I'll be fine by myself. But when this guy says, hello, don't worry, I'll protect you, like, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, compare those two images. Who would you rather trust? This guy, right? He just looks like, he doesn't even have to do anything. He just stands and says, wah! And you're like, okay, thanks. He doesn't have to fight you. That's who God is. He says, do not fear, I'll protect you. Why? He's the creator of the galaxies, the sun, the moon, the stars. Breathtaking landscapes. Incredible sea creatures. This is the stuff he's created. Beautiful, huh? In my best picture, that's who God is. He's the creator of all things. You actually have no reason not to trust him, because he's done more than you could ever ask or imagine. This is a very interesting phrase I discovered this week. Do not be afraid is written in the Bible 365 times. That's one for every day. So every morning you wake up, do not be afraid. Tomorrow, do not be afraid. It must mean something for God to mention it so many times in the Bible, don't you think? One of the things that was shared on Friday, if you are here on Friday night, this is another story that I really like personally. In the book of Matthew, this is just after Jesus has fed the 5,000. We read the story of him walking on water, and the disciples were in a boat, and Jesus wasn't with them, and there was a storm, and then all of a sudden, they were quite terrified, and then all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking out on the water, and so Peter calls out to him and says, "Lord, call me to join you," and so he climbs out of the boat, and he walks toward Jesus, but then all of a sudden, he starts to feel the strong winds from the storm, and then he starts to sink. Of course, you would be afraid in that moment. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." And so Jesus reaches out and pulls him up from the water, and they stand together on the water. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes you have that courage and you're like, "Yes, Lord, I can do this." And you actually step out in faith and you're in the midst of it. Then for some reason, something hits you. You either remember, "Oh, crap, but yesterday I did," or "But last week I did." Or you start to doubt the power of God in your life. Or your friends are like, "Yeah, whatever. You think you will make it very far." And that's the win for us. We lose perspective. We lose sight of our focus. And in that moment, you start to sink. We need to realize that we have to fix our eyes on Jesus, regardless of all the stuff that's happening, regardless of what people are saying, regardless of the fact that you don't look like anyone else because you do stuff differently, because you're of Christ. He didn't call us to be like everyone else. Next week, Mark is going to be speaking about conformity, and those are the things we're going to look at. That he doesn't call us to be like everyone else. He calls you to be unique because you are unique and you have a special calling. But you need to focus your eyes on him and fix your eyes on him, because the moment you move your eyes to something else, or you start listening to the naysayers and you doubt, then you completely lose track. So now I want us to look at how we actually slay the giant of fear. And the first thing you need to do is you need to trust God and just say, "You know what, Lord? I believe that you can take care of me, and so I step out in faith, knowing your word and knowing who you are and knowing your character, and just saying, you know, whatever I face, you're going to be there and you're going to face it with me." Psalms 91 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day." We need to believe that God watches over us. When he says he's going to cover us, it's like that. It's like an eagle covering its little one. That it doesn't matter what's around you. Like, those wings have got you. And we need to believe that God will do the same for us, because he said it in his word, and it's a promise. The second thing we need to do is just ask for his help. Like, in all sincerity and honesty, the one way you can show that you trust God is actually saying, "You know, Lord, I'm weak. Help me. I need you to show me how to do this." And when we ask him for his help, he's able to step into that situation and bring us the help that we need. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That basically means when you close your eyes and you pray, and it just feels like those prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, he hears you. And he's actually able to step into that situation and help you. The third thing is we need to arm ourselves. The book of Philippians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." That's your armor. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the image of a soldier going to war. Like, I think there was a scene in The Gladiator. If any of you ever watched The Gladiator, when he's standing, then he's just staring into the distance and they're fitting him. That's literally what this verse means. You need to put on the belt of truth. What's truth? It's the word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel. "Go ye therefore into the world." The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Sometimes our character is not that of a soldier. Sometimes we're like chickens. How many of you have lived on a farm or been to a farm? My dad is a farmer, so this is a very common image. Have you seen how chickens are? When you run to them, they're like, they all gravitate to one side. And then when you walk away, they like come back slowly. And then if you throw like specks of food, they like all gather up together, you know, like eating leftovers off the table. But God doesn't call us to be like that. God doesn't call us to be afraid little chickens that go together in crowds. He calls us to be eagles. And if you know anything about eagles, they soar on their own up high. Like, they don't need company. They're very comfortable by themselves, you know? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's who God is calling you to be, not a chicken. He's calling you to be an eagle, to have the courage to soar above all the other birds down there by yourself on the wind. And the wind is God, so God carries you. Psalms 23 verse 4, which was written by David, by the way, says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What did David say to King Saul? "I am a shepherd, and I have killed animals to protect my sheep." That's what God does. He's going to slay anything that's in your way because you are his sheep, because he is trying to protect you. This is a song that I've come to like. It's actually like my theme song for this year. It's a really cool song. And basically what it says is, "I have a dream that lives in me, a gift that's given to the uniqueness of me. There's a specific path that's meant just for me. If I walk it faithfully, though not certain where it leads, I will keep pressing on. I'll keep moving on because a force within me keeps me going strong. Though I walk through the valley of darkness, I shall not fear, for I know you are walking with me." What is God calling you to do? What's that dream that he's put in your heart? What's holding you back? At the beginning of the year, we were having chapel during the week downstairs, and someone shared about standing on the edge of your promised land. Maybe that's you. That's me, I can tell you for sure. I've been standing, looking. Like, I know what's there, but I'm like, those giants things, someone else needs to slay them first, you know? And maybe you're afraid. You're afraid of when you walk, it might be dark. You're afraid you might be alone. There's so many things that pull us back from walking into that place. But God says, do not be afraid. It's a guarantee that regardless of what you face, he's there. Regardless of what your giant is, he's going to face it with you. I'm going to tell you a funny story. I've had 3 experiences in my life. It's very weird when I think about it now. The very first was about maybe 5 years ago. On the 26th of December, I was coming back with a friend. This is back home. We were coming back from a concert at about 12:30. And at the time, we lived in Kenya, we have estates. It's almost like what complexes are. So it's a couple of houses in one big area. And there was a huge gate in front of our estate. And so we are driving home, and as we pull up in front of this gate, this car had been following us with the lights off. And all of a sudden, they pull up behind us, and they jump out with guns, and they're like, "Open up the door." And this entire time, I'm like, "Oh, thanks." Take my phone out, throw it under the chair. They searched us, and my friend is like freaking out. He's like, "Oh my gosh, they might rape her." And I was like, I promise you, I've never been so at peace. It was the weirdest experience of my life. So after harassing us for a while, they left. They were actually cops, which was quite sad. They were cops in plain clothes. So they left, and I managed to get home later. And like the moment I got home, I just broke down. Adrenaline, I was just like shaking uncontrollably. But you see, that's the power of God, that in that moment, you sound mind, that regardless of what your situation is, he's able to just make you be calm. And at least I still had my phone because we were able to call the police after that. Another situation where I live now, currently, we've had thugs come into our house twice. And the reason I like Psalms 91 is because it's one of the verses I like to pray before I go to sleep. We've had thugs come over the wall in our house, and I'm a very light sleeper. Like, if the dog is barking, I'll get up, and I didn't hear. It's been those two times I've been fast asleep like a baby, and I wake up the next day and my landlord is like, "Oh, there were thieves here yesterday." I was like, "Oh, really?" But that's what God does. Can you believe that? Like, the one time I sleep through the night is when the thugs were outside my house. Unbelievable, right? So you need to trust in the power of God. You need to trust that when he says 10,000 will fall by your wayside, that regardless of what's happening around you, nothing will touch you, he actually means that. That though you walk through the valley of darkness, I don't know what your valley of darkness may be, but take it from me. I've been there. I can testify that the power of God is real. And fear is nothing to him. Like, it's so irrelevant. I don't know how many of you have watched this movie, Facing Giants. I think we might have shown it here a while back. And the basic story about Facing Giants is about a team that's been losing all their matches, a football team in the States. And they get an opportunity to go all the way until the finals. And in this scene that I'm going to show you just now, this one guy is, he's like just been drafted into the team. He's a kicker. But nobody knows about him. He's like the smallest guy in the team. And now the time comes where he has to step up to the plate because his team needs him. We have a choice, guys. We can choose to forget everything God has done for us and run, or we can face everything and rise up to that challenge. Rise up to what he's calling us to, regardless of how we feel, regardless of that gnawing fear in you, whether it's physical or emotional. And I just want us to take some time now and pray. I don't know what your fear is. Ask us all to close our eyes. We each have a calling and we each have something that God has asked us to do for him. And you might be thinking, Lord, I don't look right. I don't sound right. I'm not the right personality. I don't have the right skills. I don't read enough. There may be many things that you're just thinking, gosh, Lord, there's no way I can do that. But just now, in the sincereness of your heart, I want you to come before him and just say, Lord, I trust you. I'm asking for your help. I want to take up that shield, and I want to go before you in faith, knowing that you've said I should not fear, knowing that you have me in the palm of your hand. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for everything you've said to us, Lord. Your many promises. Father, your word is like a guarantee to us. When you say, do not be afraid, you're literally telling us, run, go for it. I have your back. And Lord, we're so grateful that you're so honest and sincere with us. That you say, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And Lord, we come before you saying, forgive us for the many times we have entrusted you. Forgive us for the many times we've thought you're going to disappoint us, Lord. Give us the courage to stand up and trust in you and your word, Lord. Father, those feelings of people saying stuff about us or thinking we don't look good enough, I pray that they may be taken away in the name of Jesus, that you may give us the courage to stand and proclaim who you are and do the things, the great things that you've promised us we are able to do. And so, Father, as we go out into this week, I pray that you may give us the courage to stand. To stand on your word and to stand on all the great things you've said about us and all the great things that you can do through us, Lord. Like David, may we just stand with a sling and 5 stones and slay giants. Give us the courage to stand without doubt or fear, Lord. That we may be able to stand even when we are alone, Lord, when it feels lonely, that we can trust in you to be our comfort. Thank you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. And so next week, we are going to be looking at slaying the giant of conformity.